it out. Monroe exhaled.
"She's lost her breakfast, then."
"Aye. There went my second hope."
By the end of the game, her bruise had blackened her eye as well, and she'd hurt her ankle. When she put weight on it, she winced, then cast Monroe a questioning glance. He gave her a grave one in response.
"Turned to Monroe instead of me? My mate. Mine!"
Monroe said,
"She's stopped healing. She'll need to feed soon."
"What do you expect me to do about it?"
Chloe's black eye was as glaring as an accusation. He might as well have given it to her.
"I'm not eager to take on her venomous bond, to be tied to her forever. To discover that I cannot satisfy her either."
He'd never been able to feed Ruel enough. And if she'd come during sex, he had no memory of it. No wonder she'd taken a vampire lover in addition to Will. Monroe gaped at him.
"You could heal your eternal mate with one tup. Do you want me to be ashamed of you? Your choices are very simple. Either you bed her, or you allow another to feed her. I'll kill any who touch her."
Monroe raised his brows at Will's outburst.
"Then you either bed her, or watch her die. Or I die."
As soon as the thought occurred, he knew that path was closed to him. His newly returned instinct would never allow him to harm himself, not while he had a mate who'd be left alone in the world, unprotected. Monroe pulled a stalk of grass, twirling it in his fingers.
"When you were manhandling Chloe to the wall, you repeated the last words Mam said to you. What do you think she and Da would react to most? The fact that your mate is one among a hated species, or that you're not protecting or providing for her? Fate made the decision, and now you're to abide by it. They raised us to believe in fate as our faith will. They raised us better than this."
Will stabbed his fingers through his hair, then admitted a shaming truth.
"I do not know if I could top her. Physically. Even if I wanted to."
Sex with a succubus was different from sex with other females. Even after her partner had come, emptying himself, a succubus could pull a last mind-numbing spasm. When he was young, he'd always thought that last pull would kill him. Would Chloe be as greedy? Merely imagining it made his breaths shallow.
"She would likely have to use her strew on me. And if she does, how will the others here resist it? How long do we have before she begins to?"
Were the lads following Chloe with their gazes? They'd ended the game and were setting up drills. Ben was helping her, placing cones, positioning balls, being overly solicitous. Will's instinct had been cautioning him for days.
"Other males, near your unmarked mate."
Ben could barely control his beast in the best of conditions. Add a succubus's chemicals to the mix. Monroe pressed on.
"We have to think of the lads, of the entire pack. Your beast will kill any who try to bed her. You must take her from the compound, especially with the full moon to rise in 3 nights.
At length, Will said,
"Very well. I'll ready to leave. Go back to the witches. Ask for a talisman to hide her. Easy enough with the right funds. They spoke of a simple bracelet that would do the trick. But where will you go? It must be hidden from the lore."
At his brother's considering look, Will said,
"Oh, no. No! I will not take her there."
"She's still target number one," Monroe said.
"If we have to borrow a place, others will know of it. Information like that spreads like wildfire. Yet no one knows of Connell any longer. The woods were cleared. It's a forgotten land."
Will hadn't been back there since the late Middle Ages, but he knew the impervious keep was still standing strong, would forever. The ashes of their ancestors had been baked into the bricks, warding off time, as well as any enemies.
The woods were not completely cleared.
The Will, Monroe, and their men had burned all other structures, the Kirino nests, the Centaur halls. Will had ordered Ruel's cottage untouched. He still recalled Monroe's questioning glance and his own explanation. He needed it to remember. Monroe had asked,
"Could you ever truly forget?"
Apparently so, because Will was considering feeding one of Ruel's kind. Monroe said,
"I had the keep modernized a few years ago. Brought in sheep again." "Why did I not know about that?"
He shrugged.
"It's not exactly your favorite subject. There's a caretaker looking after it. I'll have him ready everything for you."
"If I take Chloe there, I'd be consigning myself to bedding her. She'd be consigned to accepting me."
Traveling to Scotland would be like a gallows march across the world. Monroe gave him a bemused look.
"Brother, you are already consigned."
Consigned. Which was another way of saying,
"I have no choice."
So this was a done deal, then. He was to claim Chloe. Some traitorous part of him quickened at the idea. Words left his lips.
"I'll do it.
I'll take care of the bracelet and transportation directly. Give me an hour. You'd best let Chloe know she's soon to leave.
Not that she'll need much time packing her things."
A subtle jab at Will, who hadn't provided her with jewels, luxuries, or even additional clothes as a mate should. Will stood.
"I've one last thing to ask from the witches. A second hex for that bracelet."
When Will told him, Monroe cast him a look that was disappointed, but not at all surprised.
29. McReeves strode directly through Chloe's obstacle course, ignoring Ronan's drill.
"Pack your men's clothes, succubus," he told her. "We're leaving."
Chloe waved the kid on. "You need to clear that in under a minute." Ronan nodded, giving McReeve a glare, then continued his practice.
"Leaving? Let me guess, a prison transfer?"
She wasn't going anywhere with Headcase.
"I'm going to have to say no to that plan, Crypt Keeper. What else you got?"
He scowled at her new nickname for him. She could make fun of his age all she wanted, but that wouldn't change how physically attractive he was. Even if she hated him, she could admire his looks. He stood so tall, still drool-worthy, still obviously a douche. After a figurative ass-kicking, Chloe was usually pretty good at picking herself up and dusting off her pants. But then she'd never been quite as crushed as with him. So why did she still feel that connection to him? Though he smelled like whiskey, she could detect that addictive masculine scent of his. With her stomach now empty, she was feeling a completely different kind of hunger. Her claws sprouted. She hid them behind her back. Sweat beaded her forehead. She needed to get away from him and nosh another round of food.
"We depart in an hour for Scotland."
One of the few European countries she'd never played in. As much as she'd wanted to leave before, now she was suspicious.
"No can do, McReeve. You see, I'm currently employed as the clan AD.
A.D.?
"Athletic director. Some of us actually have a job to do. Besides, why would I ever go anywhere with you?"
"Because your short-sighted plan to eat like a normal person didn't work out. I know you threw up."
She swiped her arm over her forehead.
"I've just been running too hard. That's nothing definitive. I'm about to go eat again."
He flicked his gaze over her face and eye, then scowled. Ronan had told her it was bruising. And more, her bad ankle was killing her. So much for immortality.
"You will not regenerate like this."
She gazed away, then back. "I'll continue to get worse?" "Until what?" She died? A curt nod.
You need to feed. Resign yourself to this fact.
Every time he used the word feed, her mind was cast back to their last encounter, when her claws had sunk into his lean hips as she'd swallowed him down, the most delectable taste she'd ever imagined. Her claws were now aching to pierce his skin. Her nipples hardened under her shirt until even two sports bras couldn't conceal the taut points.
"Gods, woman, I consent your arousal,"
he said, voice gone hoarse.
"Others will soon enough."
How embarrassing. Her gaze darted to the lodge. Need an apple and a shower. And perhaps an orgasm of her own to release some pressure. I can handle this. Eating food tamps that down. He shook his head.
It's only a matter of time before you start strewing. And if I do not take you somewhere isolated, every unmated male around will fight to mate you.
If I say no to them,
then they'll fight to rape you.
Every male? She shielded her eyes against the sun, watching Ronan dribbling around cones. Ben was practicing punting. Presently, he could kick the ball about 2 miles. With her help, he could achieve 3. McCreeve followed her gaze.
Ben would be first in line.
His harsh voice drew her attention. She noted his fists were clenched.
Probably after killing his little brother for the pleasure.
I don't want to emit chemicals. There has to be a way for me to control it. If you would just let me speak to one of my own kind, we could find those two who were outside the wall.
Never! This is my decision. You'll abide by it.
So arrogant. She longed to put him to the ground, to slide-tackle him till he ate turf. I thought I couldn't leave the compound, that the Praevis would find me through burning handprints or whatever.
We're acquiring a talisman. Remember the mystical means I talked about?
He was offering a talisman? Holy shit, this would be her chance to escape. She knew he could detect any changes in her voice, could hear her heart speeding up. Calm your tits, Chloe. Oh, is that so? She said in a bored tone. Wow, you're going to spend that much money on me, and you plan to do business with my kidnappers. I hate your world.
And it hates you.
Your clan likes me well enough. With utter confidence, he said,
because they do not know you.
Bite your tongue. I don't have my passport with me.
We'll travel through private lore airports.
All she heard was private escape ports. So when do I get this alleged camouflage do-thingy? He narrowed his gaze.
Look at the wee succubus making plans to flee. Your heart races. You truly think you can get away from me? Like a hunt. It would not even be sporting.
I have nothing to lose by trying. She gave him a long look. Except for werewolf deadweight.
I should just let you walk out of here with your little hobo stick filled with men's clothing.
Yes, you should.
You've been told that the Praevis males will gang rape you, and still you seek to leave? Mayhap you crave it from them.
He turned and strode away. Prick! She lined up 2 balls. Taking aim, she reared back and kicked the first as hard as she could. The second followed in quick succession. As planned, the first took him in the back of the head. When he spun around, the second nailed him in the testicles.
What the fuck?
He gritted his teeth, but remained standing. As others tried to hide their laughter, she shrugged. Penalty. He bared his fangs at her, stalking off to the sound of Ronan singing the soccer anthem, Ole, 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 ole. XXX. Scottish Highlands. With every mile of forest and dirt track closer to Connell, the isolation weighed on Will. He drummed his fingers on the wheel of his new truck. With each mile closer, his future became clearer. There would be no other for Chloe. It was down to him. And he was alternately disgusted and aroused by the idea of claiming her. Never had he felt such conflict within him. She was oblivious to his turmoil, currently fast asleep in the passenger seat. Unless seriously weakened, most immortals needed only a few hours a day. The food she'd been trying to keep down might temporarily douse her arousal, but it did nothing to sustain her energy or heal her injuries. He tried to concentrate on the road, on the scenery. Despite visiting Kennevain, he hadn't been this close to Connell in centuries. He'd had no reason to return, making his home in Nova Scotia. He'd nearly forgotten the beauty of this region. Cloud shadows roamed over bronze mountains and mirror-smooth lochs like giant phantoms. Breathtaking. He frowned at Chloe. She was missing everything. But then, did he care? Mayhap. Should he wake her up? He decided against it. Their day-long journey had only fatigued her more. After giving Chloe a simple silver talisman bracelet, Monroe had driven them to the lower port where a jet awaited. They'd hired a demon pilot who already had a mate, just in case Chloe began strewing at 40,000 feet. Monroe had taken each of them aside in turn for a few private words.
"Have a care with my Drefur," he'd told Will, "and I suggest you inform her what else her talisman does."
Chloe had been standing at a little distance, clearly weighing her chances of escaping. She'd fiddled with her new bracelet, having no idea it had a second, critical function. Monroe's parting words to Will?
"Even now your mate suffers because you deny her. You were ill-used in the past, but if you take it out on her, then you become the slighter."
The villain. Whatever Monroe had told Chloe had left her equally shaken. On the plane, she'd scuffed to the back cabin and fallen atop the bed, sleeping for most of the trip. He'd crept into the cabin, stretching his body out beside hers. Again he'd thought,
"I'm looking down at my mate."
So lovely, deceptively delicate.
"Yours."
Part of him still hated her for becoming a succubus, for pulling him from the brink, only to shove him right back. But now, it was too late. He knew it as well as he knew his reflection.
"My soul's been branded."
Which was yet another way of saying,
"I have no choice." "Claim her. Protect. Provide."
He'd been tempted to provide right there on the plane. When he'd scented her renewed arousal and spied her stiffened nipples, he'd trailed his hand down her body to cup her between her legs, fondling her over her jeans. She'd woken with a gasp. Her thighs had spread so obediently, and she'd rocked her sex into his palm as a good mate would.
"Acquiescing already?"
Then she'd seemed to rouse fully. Her knees had slammed shut.
"Get away from me, asshole!"
With a blistering curse, he'd obliged, pacing the plane for hours, restless, miserable. Even if he wanted to claim her, even if he could, she wouldn't receive him. As she'd put it, she was repulsed to see his beast. Sequestered at Connell, she wouldn't have a lot of choices. She'd start strewing, and his beast would be helpless not to take her, whether she wanted it or not. If he had to hate-fuck his mate to keep her fed, then so be it. They'd landed on a private strip in the Highlands, with a 3-hour drive to Connell still ahead of them. When Will had picked up his new SUV, she'd frowned.
"I don't know about you driving. What if your beast comes out? I don't think he's got a driver's permit."
In a weird voice, she said,
"He don't even have his license, Lisa."
"Who's Lisa?"
She'd blinked at him.
"Weird science?"
"Never mind, Crypt Keeper.
I'll shoot you a YouTube sometime through this thing we youngsters like to call electronic mail.
Now they crossed a bridge over the river that marked the eastern edge of Connell property.
I'm on my family's land.
At the thought, his uneasiness increased. He was returning to the place of his origins with his mate in tow. A mate who was sound asleep from exhaustion, favoring one leg, sporting a bruised face, and suffering the effects of malnutrition. She'd brought one of Ronan's old gym bags, and all the belongings she had in the world hadn't filled it. His brother had given her the one piece of jewelry she owned. The back of Will's neck heated. He shouldn't give a damn. He reminded himself that she was lucky to be with him, fortunate that he'd been prepared to make sacrifices for her. He was about to bring one of her kind within those hallowed walls of Connell, defiling his home. He was about to feed her, healing her. But those were his limits. His gaze fell on her bracelet. As per his orders, that talisman would keep her hidden, and keep her from conceiving. Just the idea of Ubis spawn was bollock shriveling for him. If he and Chloe had incubi sons and succubi daughters, he would have to withdraw his offspring from the clan, could never let his line prey on others. Again, he drummed impatiently at the wheel, every mile cranking up the tension within him. And the more anxious he became, the more his instinct told him to take comfort in his mate. Just when his hand was reaching for her of its own volition, she woke, blinking at her surroundings. Now that he'd slowed their speed on a dirt road, she rolled down her window, laying her head on the door. The scents of the highlands swept him up, easing some of his tension. He gazed over at her. The late afternoon sun flickered through trees, reflecting off the silver cuff on her wrist and bathing the smooth skin of her unmarred cheek. Over the course of their journey, her hair had grown out to nearly shoulder length, shiny waves streaming in the wind.
She's so bloody bonny.
As he took in her heavy-lidded eyes and drowsy smile, the urge to stroke her face was nigh undeniable. He needed to tell her that he found her beautiful, that he would give her anything she desired. Gods, he felt as if he'd die if he didn't kiss her. Comprehension. As the keep came into view, it was not a moment too soon, because Chloe was beginning her first strew. 31.
Lifestyles of the rich and famous meets medieval times,
Chloe said casually as she stepped out of the SUV, making an effort to mask her amazement at the sight before her. She wouldn't give McCreeve the satisfaction, not when he'd just grated,
"Out. Now."
Connell Keep was jaw-dropping, like it belonged on a postcard. The main part of the building was a squared-off, three-story structure built of cream-colored stone. Wings sprawled on either side, each framed with towering trees. Smoke plumes curled up from two chimneys, promising warmth, a welcome sight as dusk neared and a chill set in. A real-life babbling brook coursed nearby, with its own water wheel and everything. The front yard consisted of miles of green hills dotted with fluffy white sheep. Beyond them lay a distant forest. When McCreeve slammed out of the truck, she wondered what had crawled up his ass. Ever since they'd closed in on this place, he'd grown even more surly, yet on the plane, the bastard had made a move on her. She'd woken to find his rough palm covering her crotch completely, the heat of his skin seeping through her jeans. She'd barely rebuffed him, almost calling him back. Then she'd discovered the snacks on the plane, choking down peanuts and a Coke. Yes, food could dull her arousal, but it provided zero energy. Though she'd been excited about being in Scotland for the first time and eager to escape, her body hadn't cooperated. She'd dozed off on the way here.
Way to pay attention so you can flee, Chloe.
And more? she would kill for a nap right now. She planned to shower, sleep, force herself to eat whatever was available, then plot her exit strategy. As she and McCreeve approached the wide front doors, it fully sank in that she was alone with a man in a remote location. She'd never even been on a date before McCreeve, so this all felt momentous. She tried to fill the silence.
I dig your place.
He paused with his key in the front door, narrowing his eyes at her. Sweat dotted his upper lip. His voice was strained as he said,
"This is my ancestral home. I dunna give a damn if a succubus digs it."
Before she'd left Glenreal, Monroe had explained that Connell was where they'd grown up, and that McCreeve held it sacred. The fact that he was bringing her there was important. Maybe, but he was blatantly unhappy about it.
"How's this place still standing?"
In a put-out tone, McCreeve answered,
"The bricks were made with the ashes of those who came before us. They warded away time, and any who would do us harm."
"Your cremated ancestors are part of the bricks? I hate the lore," she said,
even as her gaze was drawn down to her new silver bracelet, imbued with Lorian camouflage mojo. When he pushed open one of the front doors for her, she gamely trudged inside. The foyer was stately, with a grand curving stairway that looked like it had been carved from the keep itself. The tiled floor gleamed. The air smelled faintly of beeswax. In an adjoining library, book-filled shelves covered walls from floor to ceiling. The antique furnishings were finely crafted. Oil paintings and tapestries accented the decor. Yet, as she passed a second room, a lushly arranged sitting area, she noted that there was no hint that children had once lived here. No hint that this place had belonged to a family. But then it wasn't like there'd be grade school pictures to hang, because her travel companion was really freaking old. Like he'd call rock and roll that infernal racket old. Like when dinosaurs ruled the earth old. God, this was so messed up. She turned when she realized he wasn't behind her. He stood at the threshold, hesitating to enter, his big frame silhouetted in the doorway. An ancient immortal had returned to his boyhood home. So why this hesitation? Something was seriously wrong here. His brows were drawn tight, his muscles tensed. Even after everything, she had the impulse to soothe whatever was hurting him, to smooth away his lost expression. She found her feet taking her back toward this man. Will had made it through the first wave of her strew without whipping out his dick and falling on her.
"Good on you, man."
His self-congratulations were short-lived when faced with Connell. Every detail of this place made memories erupt in Will's mind, keeping him on edge. Though Monroe had brought in plumbing and electricity, the furniture and tapestries had remained largely the same, like a time capsule. When Chloe turned back with a quizzical look on her face, he brusquely pushed past her, that slight contact making him ache for her. But he remained in control. Mayhap her strew was weak since she was only a cambion. Perhaps it would grow stronger, building with use like a muscle. If so, he was screwed, just as she would be. She silently followed as he strode through the great room, past the hearth. The caretaker had lit a fire there. So many memories. He hastened toward the kitchen, finding it well stocked with food and liquor. For the second time in less than a week, Will thought,
"Bless you, brother."
Though tempted to chug from a bottle of whiskey, he found a highball glass and poured several fingers. She retrieved a glass of her own, holding it up for him to fill. Once he grudgingly did, she sipped.
"Where am I supposed to sleep? I need a catnap."
She'd slept for most of the trip and craved more? How many hours out of 24 could she possibly sleep? What if she drifted off and never woke up? The thought sent a jolt of panic through him, and he gulped down his drink. The bottle clinked against his glass as he refilled.
Protect. Provide.
Crossing the great room, he said,
Your room's on the second floor.
With leaden feet, he climbed the stone stairs. What he found made him grind his teeth with frustration. None of the guest rooms had been aired, nor had the brothers' childhood bedroom. Sheets still draped all the furniture, the windows sealed tight. Grimly, he ascended another flight of stairs to the master suite. Of course, it had been readied.
Monroe, you prick.
Treating Will like he was master of the keep? Chloe blithely entered, then turned in place.
It's beautiful, she breathed.
He understood her appreciation. Softly lit by another fire, the airy suite stretched from one side of the keep to the other, and was elegantly appointed, though differently from days past. His parents' sleigh bed had been replaced with an enormous four-poster, and all the furniture had been exchanged for more modern pieces. The hand-woven brocades his mother had favored for the window dressings and bed covering were gone, replaced by lighter textiles. The coverlet had a narrow border of plaid, the McCreeve tartan. Chloe crossed to a curving bank of windows.
What's that forest called?
The Woods of Murk,
he grated, fists bawling. The woods where his mam had died. Ruel's cottage lay inside that forest.
Remember, Will. Remember how weak you were.
Whatever Chloe detected in his voice drew her gaze. She seemed to be noting his reaction.
It's a place you will never go.
With a glare, she turned to the opposite wall, to another bank of windows. From there, she could see the woods to the north and the courtyard below. In the center was a Syrah cherry tree in full bloom, like the one in Louisiana, except this one was much larger. It had been there since he was a child. When she saw it, she gave a little gasp. As if spurred by some invisible force, he joined her. No, not an invisible force. It had to be her strew. Was it getting stronger? They fell silent, watching the breeze flutter petals. He knew both of them were thinking about that one perfect day. Still gazing down, she said,
You really screwed yourself, McCreeve. Every day could have been like that. An eternity of them, just like you promised me. I suppose I should just be grateful that you haven't beheaded me yet.
With a shrug, she padded toward the walk-in closet.
Oh my God, it's full of new clothes! And they're the ones I'd actually wear!
Draining his glass, he peered into the closet, saw jeans, long-sleeved T-shirts, no-frills button-downs, and blazers. There were running shoes and even tiny cleats. A new set of luggage stood by. As if Chloe would be traveling. She turned to him, gazing up at him with eyes that flickered green with emotion.
Thank you. I wasn't expecting this.
Succubus green. A shock of anger hammered him.
I would not do this for you. You'd best thank Monroe.
That bastard had provided her with things that Will hadn't. She muttered,
Such a dick.
Then began investigating the garments. Had his brother picked out the lingerie she was now rummaging through? The red silks that would quicken any wolf's blood? There was a piece of paper taped to the closet door. She handed it to him.
I can't read this. It's in either Gaelic or wolf.
A printed-out email from Monroe.
Calm down, you sodden jackass. Cassandra picked out all the clothes. Consider them gifts from you for the new mistress of the keep.
Mistress? Then that would make Will the master. This confused him mightily. Connell belonged to both brothers, yet Monroe kept giving hints that Will would live here with Chloe. Probably to protect the clan. Will had already been shuffled to the fringe. Chloe turned back to her new wardrobe, murmuring, "Not for the first time I'm wondering why I couldn't be Monroe's mate. You both look the same."
Will lunged forward, snatching her upper arm to yank her from the closet. "You push too far, woman!"
Never had he been jealous of Monroe. Now Will felt enough to stretch over 9 centuries. He growled,
"Is it him that you want?"
"Why wouldn't I? At least he's been decent to me."
As Will's grip tightened, he wondered why he was so surprised by this. It was only a matter of time before Chloe strayed. Monroe would never touch her, but any other red-blooded male.
"Let go, McCreeve!"
When she couldn't budge his hand, she punted his leg.
"Don't touch me!"
"Best get used to me touching you. Soon I will not be able to help myself. You started strewing. You're spicing the air right now."
"What?"
Her face paled even more, highlighting her bruise.
"No. No way."
"Oh, aye. I could barely concentrate on the road coming in. My mind was in a fog."
"But you said it would madden you."
"It's getting stronger," he said.
The truth. Yet it was not so simple as that. Her strew was affecting him differently than Ruel's had. Perhaps because Chloe was his mate. Ruel's had controlled him physically. Chloe's was taking him over both physically and mentally, an even more shuddersome proposition. He was compelled not only to mate her, but to clasp her to his chest, to make her smile, anything to chase away the despairing look that was on her face right now. He resisted it with everything in him.
"My will is my own."
"I wish I could stop," she said. "It's not consciously done."
"That's all you have to say. Do you have any idea what it's like to have no control of your mind? Your body?"
A flash of irritation crossed her face.
"You're kidnapping and terrorizing me. I've got a clue."
"Kidnapping? Try saving your arse. I've brought you to an isolated location for your own safety."
She pinched the bridge of her nose.
"You don't seem surprised that I've started this."
"I knew it was only a matter of time."
"If that's true, and you believed I couldn't escape, then you fully intended to be with me? Sexually?"
"There were 2 scenarios for me to choose from. Let another male have my mate, or take you myself. My Lyke instinct and my beast would never allow another to fuck you. Which meant there really was no choice. I'm compelled to claim you."
She sank down on the window seat, as if the mere idea exhausted her.
"Compelled? You are the most hateful man I've ever met. I ask you again, what the hell did I ever do to you?"
He didn't have a ready answer. Yes, she'd pulled him back from the brink, then pushed him back to the edge. But that wasn't her fault. She'd been his dream female, until she'd become one among his nightmares. Again, not her fault.
"You canna have it both ways. Canna fill the air with your chemicals, then cry when the result is what you need. You've got my hands tied."
"You're cool with this? To have sex with someone who doesn't truly desire you as a person? Who only wants not to feel pain anymore?"
"My predicament exactly," he lied.
He'd never desired another so fiercely.
"It will happen tonight, Chloe. Prepare yourself. And gods help us both."
32.
Blech. Blech.
Chloe drew the wastebasket toward her, then spat out a mouthful of saltines as if they were radioactive. Surrounding her on the floor was a moat of cracker wrappers and crumbs. She remembered when one of her middle school friends had fed her beagle some cheese-covered broccoli. The dog had been happily smacking away until it got to the harsh broccoli center.
"Ugh,
I feel you, dog. Blech.
Was food truly no longer an option? With shaking hands, she unwrapped another package, biting through two crackers. Anything not to strew. Chewing. Chewing. Was this mouthful going to go down?
Please go down.
Waste basket.
She emptied her mouth, hooking a finger around her gums to get out all the offending particles. Then she tested the rest of her drink. Natch, the whiskey went down like silk, but she knew it wouldn't be nearly enough to sustain her. Field position? Her body was failing her. She'd done everything she could to stay the course, but maybe it was time to admit defeat. With each minute she suffered an empty stomach, her desire blossomed. Awakening? Oh yeah, like her libido had mainlined crank. And it remained fixated on McCreeve. Did that mean all his predictions were about to come true? Would she go crawling to him, or plead as he denied her again and again? She'd always heard that you remembered your first time forever. She didn't want to remember groveling for his dick, especially since forever, in her case, could be literal. The idea of that made her more ill than the crackers. Was she one of those women who got off on cruelty? Some spring-loaded dojo dummy perpetually bouncing up for another strike? No. She refused to believe that. He was simply the target of sheer desperation. When she was young, she'd gotten lost in the woods without water. She remembered being so thirsty that she'd eyed a stagnant puddle with serious consideration. McCreeve was simply a big, like-a-shaped puddle. Maybe she should just do it. He'd given her bliss once before, and if sex was supposed to be the most pleasurable act of all, once she was stronger, she could escape him. Would it be so bad to feed and heal? Her succubus half avidly recalled the energy she'd received from that blowjob. If she felt like that again, she could jog straight out of this place, this country, away from him forever. This would be the last night she'd ever have to see his hateful smirk. Still, as desperate as she was, she balked at the crawling to him portion of tonight's program. She could handle anything but the begging. Or his beast. So much confusion. And trying to ignore her escalating desire wasn't working. Her panties were wet, her sex achy. Could she release some pressure? Or even delay more strewing? She rose, heading for the shower. As she undressed, she gazed into the mirror. She was slimmer from hunger, but her bruise didn't look too bad. Her hair had almost grown out. Earlier she'd thought about finding scissors, but was too tired to be bothered. Pulling it up in a ponytail would be quicker and easier than shearing off that thick mane each day. Would McCreeve find the length more attractive? Did she care? She turned on the shower, impressed with the array of toiletries. She stepped under the steaming water, then soaped up a cloth, starting with her breasts, then letting her hands linger over every curve, her hips, her backside. As she touched herself, she imagined McCreeve downstairs in front of the fire, his golden eyes lit by flames. She fantasized that his hands roamed her body. She cupped her sex as he had on the plane, massaging herself like that. She was on the verge of coming, whispering his name, when a spike of worry that he'd sent her shattered her concentration. Visualizing his head between her legs, his strong tongue working her flesh, brought her back into striking range, but then she jumped at a noise which turned out not to be him at all. In the end, she was just too weak. All she'd done was leave herself even hornier. She dropped her hand, leaning her forehead against the wall. With a groan of frustration, she slapped the tile with her flat palm, and it didn't even crack. McCreeve had been right. If he came upstairs, ready to have sex with her, it would happen. Gods help them both? And if he didn't come for her soon, would she go limping through the keep, chasing after him? With a curse, she dried off, wincing when the terry cloth rubbed her swollen nipples. Perusing her new clothes, she saw there was really only one choice for a night like this. Though the weather was mild by Highland standards, Will had stoked the fire in the keep's great hearth, forcing himself to sit before it, drinking for fortitude. This was going to happen. He was about to bed a succubus, which meant he needed to get as numb as possible before he relived his nightmares. No. He was a grown man. If he was to mate a succubus again, it didn't have to be anything like last time. He didn't even have to fuck Chloe. A tidy blowjob would nourish her. He didn't have to claim her, didn't have to mark her as his mate. With a perfect mix of misery and eagerness, he knew he'd be inside her tonight. He'd fall on that sword, letting her use his body. Because that was what succubi did. He'd heard water running in the master bathroom, unable to resist picturing her in the shower, streams cascading over her naked body. He'd imagined her soaping those glorious breasts of hers, gliding her fingers over sensitive nipples. He swallowed, gazing down at his stiffening cock. Oh, aye, she was strewing more potently. He decided he would hold out as long as he could, testing his will against the force of her need. Shaking as badly as he had the night his family had been ripped apart, he stared into the flames. Not 10 feet from him was the spot where his mother had stood the last time Will had seen her alive.
"Never one like her, my Uyam."
His father had sat before this very fireplace, telling his sons about how he'd met their mother, adoration in his tone. When Will had predicted that his father wouldn't last the week, he'd been wrong. Da hadn't lived past the next sunset. No one in the clan had been surprised when he'd entreated a trusted comrade to deal his death blow. Nothing Will or Monroe could say would change Da's mind. He'd been out of his head with grief, unmoved by their pleas, half taken over by his beast already. Will and Monroe had just lost their mother and sister, and then their father as well. All of that because of a succubus.
"And there is one in our home." The shame of it.
And in the midst of his turmoil, he needed Chloe. He needed her hand on his brow, a loving stroke against his face. He needed to be inside her, because that was the only place in the world he hadn't yet tried to find peace. He finished the bottle, setting it down too close to the edge of the whiskey service. It fell to the floor. Nothing left to spill. He collected another fifth, then proceeded to top off his highball glass repeatedly, chasing that numbness. By the end of the second bottle, all he'd achieved was drunkenness. When he'd heard her turn off the water, his pulse had quickened. Now he could detect the faintest scent of her arousal, making him quake like a dog maddened by the scent of heat.
Claim!
There was nothing preventing him from being inside his mate, nothing but his stubbornness, his battered pride. He needed to accept that it was his fate to surrender and cede. He told himself that for the 900 years between succubi, his life and his will had been his own. He should be grateful for those centuries at least. Grateful? With a yell, he shot to his feet, throwing his glass into the fire. Before it shattered, he'd already sped halfway up the stairs, having no idea whether he'd throttle her, rut her, or just clasp her tight against him. He'd made it all of 2 hours here before succumbing to her call. Why did he always lose when he so badly needed to win? 33. Chloe whirled around when McCreeve entered the room, then raised her brows in surprise. He looked wasted. He had to get drunk before he could sleep with her?
And the dojo dummy takes a hit.
You look surprised to see me.
He scratched his head, ruffling his thick hair.
Why's that? You know I'm in your thrall. You know nothing could stop my feet from taking me here.
Aside from being trashed, he seemed filled with rage. She felt like she was in the room with a bomb about to detonate. His eyes flickered ominously as he raked his gaze over her.
A red robe, he grated with a bitter laugh. Keen on seducing me? No need. I am thoroughly bestrewed. Could never escape your clutches.
It was the only one in the closet, she said defensively, but he wasn't listening.
Come then, succubus.
He spread his arms wide, his expression inscrutable.
Your dinner has arrived, awaiting naught but your consumption.
How was she supposed to reply to that? She guessed she should just be happy that he wasn't making her beg. When she didn't answer, he shrugged, then started to undress. Unsteadily, he toed off his boots, dragging his shirt over his head. Though she was wary of his current state, the sight of his muscle-packed chest elicited an immediate physical reaction in her. Her breasts grew even heavier, her heartbeats accelerating.
"Tell me how you're preferring your repast,"
he said, his accent so strong she barely recognized his voice, and his fury-tinged words sounded old-fashioned. He paused with his fingers on the button of his jeans, inhaling deeply.
"Ah, I think Chloe craves what's in here very badly."
God help her, she did. Her succubus half was clamoring to feed.
Don't reach for him.
When he unfastened his jeans and his erection bobbed free, her gaze locked on its movements. A feeling like delight filled her when the head grew moist, as if begging for her tongue. Once McCreeve stood before her naked, magnificent in the firelight, he spread his arms wide again, as if he expected her to fall upon him. Part of her seriously wanted to fall upon him. His broad chest heaved with breaths. Between those narrow hips, his shaft jutted proudly. His testicles hung heavy beneath it.
Is this not what you want?
When he gripped himself with one big hand and began stroking, every fiber in her body tightened with lust. She should be doing the stroking.
That's mine.
She clenched her fists, shaking with the effort not to rush to him. Watching this was at once erotic and wrong, like punishment.
How does my succubus mate wish to be deflowered? I could lie back on the bed for you to straddle my cock. Least amount of contact that way, and you would not muss your hair.
Huh? As if she'd ever cared about that.
No kissing, naturally, he continued. Would not want to smear your lip rouge.
Lip rouge? For real, McCreeve? I don't understand what you're talking about.
She simply didn't know enough about sex to determine what his game was. Did he truly intend some kind of punishment? Was this domination? Some sort of role-playing? In the past, she'd let him lead, guiding her. But now she didn't understand where he wanted to take them. At her blank gaze, he stopped stroking.
I'm here by your command.
His gaze narrowed into a malevolent glare.
You tell me how you prefer this,
he hissed between gritted teeth.
Or I promise you, succubus, you will not like what you get. I'm a heartbeat away from freeing my beast.
She pulled her robe tighter, protectively.
But you said it'd take me on my hands and knees, that it'd take me hard.
Oh, it would.
She shuddered.
Have you forgotten that I'm a virgin? I don't want to see that thing again.
Do not want?
He crossed to her with a black look.
I gave you a chance to tell me what you want. You declined.
She quickly said, then I'd prefer not to have sex at all. We can be as we were before.
Not an option.
When he stood before her, he said,
I've sacrificed myself on this altar. I stand ready to be harvested thoroughly, and one foot closer to being envenomed. You're gone to feed, succubus, and feed well.
She bit her lip, wondering if there was any play at all for her to make.
Then tell me what you want.
Control.
Will needed for this to be different from the sex he'd known with Ruel, and craved for it to be different from the sex he'd had as a beast.
The succubus would like to know how I'd have this,
he sneered, still surprised she hadn't sunk her claws into him yet.
Why? So you can deny me what I truly crave?
He was close enough to spy the swells of her breasts beneath that damnable red robe. Close enough that her breaths ghosted over his chest.
Claim her. Provide.
He was bloody about to. She gazed up at him with those big hazel eyes.
Just tell me.
Why not?
He was just drunk enough to be honest.
I want to kiss you till your lips bruise beneath mine. I want to swat your plump arse. Simply because you belong to me, and I can.
She swallowed, and her nipples stiffened even more against her robe. He peered hard at them, giving a harsh laugh.
And because I know you'll get off on it. I want you to come a dozen times, but only when I allow it.
He reached forward to clamp her nape.
When I look down on you as I mount your little body, I want to know that you're as desperate to receive my cock as I am to give it to you.
Her lips parted, her lids going heavy.
I want to say filthy words in your ear because it gets me hard.
He tightened his grip on her.
And because it's a tool for me to use, like a third hand with which to pet you.
She'd begun panting. Her breasts rising and falling so temptingly, her nipples now strained against the silk, yet her hands still remained by her sides. Could this be different from before? Because Chloe was different? He shook his head hard, now wishing for clarity.
I want total control of the situation, total domination of you, until my beast wrests it from my claws. And in exchange, I'll be giving you one third of my soul,
he thought.
I want you on that bed, awaiting my touch.
Now that he'd spelled out his wishes, imagining every one, nothing less would do. He'd feed her on his own terms.
Have we an understanding?
She shook her head. Denying him? He dropped his hand with a growl. Why should he be surprised?
I'd like my lips bruised from your kiss, she began. And I want you to come as many times as I do, because that's only fair. Right now, for some reason, the idea of you spanking me turns me on, as much as the Neolithic idea of belonging to you. So I'd love for you to demonstrate what the hell that's all about. And I'm asking you to use every filthy word you can think of, but stop calling me succubus.
She climbed on the bed, awaiting his touch.
Chloe.
His voice broke lower. She removed her robe. Gods, her body took his breath away. She was thinner, but still so lovely, all curves and sweet hollows. Yes, mayhap he'd find peace inside her. When she was completely naked before him, she lifted her chin as if daring him to come take her fire.
I'm waiting.
Then she lay back, reaching out her arms for him. His heart seemed to stop.
And this is why she's my mate.
In a daze, he joined her, passing the point of no return.
Claim her. Provide.